welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I am Elizabeth Holtsharp, your host, and I am very excited to be here today with Charlene Heidinger, who is representing the Texas PACE Authority. I'm going to start with just a short bio to introduce Charlene, and then I'm really excited to hear about how your work impacts banks in your community and the work that this can also kind of impact across the U.S. here for all the bankers listening in. Charlene Heidinger is president of Texas PACE Authority, the nonprofit administrator of over 100 Texas city and county PACE programs, reaching 75% of the Texas population. These local assessment financing programs have facilitated more than $500 million of private investment in energy and water-saving capital improvements for Texas businesses and nonprofits. Ms. Heidinger led the 2013 legislative effort in support of the Texas PACE Act and the year-long collaboration of more than 100 stakeholder volunteers to create PACE in a Box, a uniform model program of best practices for Texas local governments and self-regulation among PACE stakeholders. Charlene received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2024 Texas Energy Summit. PACE Nation recognized Charlene as a national 2020 PACE champion. Texas PACE Authority was named Outstanding Nonprofit of 2023 at the Texas Energy Summit and has received numerous awards for its public service. Charlene has served as general counsel to U.S. House Republican Leader Bob Michael, as counsel to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as counsel to House Judiciary and Energy and Commerce Committees. She then served as vice president and Washington counsel for Capital Cities ABC, Inc., representing the company's television network and owned stations, radio, print, and cable interests, including ESPN. She served as executive director of the Top for Family Foundation in Austin, Texas. And Heidinger is a member of the Texas, Washington, D.C., and Michigan Bar Associations. So with an intro like that, I am very excited for this conversation. You're just an exciting person to have on the podcast. I'm very interested to hear about the work you do. What I want to kind of, if you're willing, start out with talking about both what PACE is as a program, where it's available to Texas bankers and across the U.S., and also for folks who maybe don't have access to a PACE program, how this type of financing can still impact communities and bankers.
That's great. They're all great questions. So Texas, the Texas PACE Act, the Texas Property Assessed Clean Energy Act, was adopted by our legislature in 2013. Mm-hmm. 40 states and the District of Columbia have similar programs. Every state statute is different. The Texas statute is what we call a local adoption model. It gave cities and counties the authority to create these programs if they want to, and 105 programs have done so thus far using Texas PACE Authority as the administrator. No taxpayer dollars are involved. This is entirely voluntary. There are no mandates. And we've worked very carefully with our three Texas banking associations, Texas Association of Business, and virtually every other interested stakeholder group to make sure that this is a pro-business program that, and every one of these projects has to stand on its own in the marketplace or it won't work. So what is it? It is a local government tool that reduces the risk for lenders. Basically what we're doing, what the legislature did was take an equipment loan, like a new roof or a more efficient HVAC system or better windows solar on the roof, or what is increasingly more important in Texas, water-saving measures, replacing toilets that flush 5 gallons a pop with toilets that flush 1.3 gallons. That's cutting your water bill in half right there. So reducing those risks to lenders. So lenders will not want quick paybacks on expensive equipment that doesn't break even for 10 or 15 years. That creates cash flow problem. That's why we have deferred maintenance in our buildings across the country. Mm-hmm. If a local government steps in and says, you know what, we'll place a lien on the property, a local government lien that we place and we hold and we enforce for the PACE lender, that takes the worst type of loan and makes it the safest type of loan. It also makes it a government assessment loan. So this lien, the government doesn't provide the money. They never actually touch the money, but they hold the lien for the PACE lender. Because these need to be voluntary for everybody involved, we worked with the banking associations to write into the statute that a property is not eligible for this type of financing unless the senior lender consents. Okay. So in writing, so this has to work for the senior lender. And there are many reasons that that can happen. And we could take the whole half hour talking about that. But I hope people who are watching will reach out to me and go to TexasBaseAuthority.org. We have a ton of resources there, including a list of the 60 or so senior lenders that have consented to PACE projects thus far. We're not asking anybody to be the tip of the spear. Mm-hmm. But there are limits to local government assessments. And this is key to the understanding for lenders. They cannot accelerate. The only thing the local government can collect is a missed payment, one out of 1/20th of the PACE assessment or 1/30th of the PACE assessment. Mm-hmm. And those assessments can be spread out as long as the equipment's going to last, because we're looking for that equipment to create savings to pay those installments. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the statute requires an independent third-party engineer validates that the savings on these projects over these longer loan terms, these longer lives, these assessment terms, are going to exceed the cost. So these literally pay for themselves.
Okay. That is fascinating. What you just concluded with is fascinating to me, because when we think about repayment ability, whether it's, you know, consumer underwriting or credit analysis, that's cash flow is such a big deal. So it's almost like you've got a positive recursive relationship when you're putting something in place that's pretty well proven that it's going to pay for itself.
Provided,
it seems to me that takes some of the risk out of these loans.
That's exactly right. Provided that the senior lenders understand that there are real measurable savings, right? Mm-hmm. So we're reducing the operating expenses for these properties and using that to make these payments. So when the senior lender is doing its debt credit ratio analysis, it's critical that they take into account these savings. And unlike a lot of other energy efficiency programs, the Texas PACE program has an independent engineer, Texas licensed engineer analysis, where they have had to stamp, they've had to put their license stamp on that report. So it's reliable. That makes all the difference in the world.
Are these loans geared toward commercial properties? Are they accessible to consumers and commercial borrowers equally, or is it kind of geared toward a commercial market where sometimes those buildings might have higher energy usage than even a consumer home as well? I'm curious about the scope.
Hugely so. So there are a couple different ways this program can be used, but it can only be used on commercial property. Now, nonprofits own commercial property. They happen to be owners that don't have to pay taxes, but it's still commercial property. So we've done churches and the Houston area Urban League headquarters and some other really wonderful nonprofit projects, but it's commercial, industrial, and that includes agriculture, and multifamily properties with at least 5 units.
Okay.
In total respect to our local banking associations and our local realtors, there is a more than a line in the sand. There is an Alamo cannons facing outward that this will not apply to homes.
Okay.
And so our statute is multifamily and up, and with all but, I think, 2 states, all of the PACE programs in the country, they're called C-PACE, commercial PACE. We call it here Texas PACE because we wanted to make sure every time we said commercial PACE, people said, I thought it applied to industrial. So we just called it Texas PACE.
Sure. So
just to clarify, it can only be used for measures that reduce energy use, reduce water use, or create power on site, reducing demand from the grid. So it's never going to pay for an entire project. It can't replace the senior loan. It's plugging holes As senior loans have gotten smaller as a percentage of the project, this is a great filler. Sorry, I interrupted you, Elizabeth.
No, I'm sorry. My apologies if I interrupted you. I'm curious how these are pitched to banks. Like, what is in it for the bank? Besides the fact that banks want to make loans, and you've kind of described how the repayment ability might be a little bit more solid than banks might expect. How are banks looking at this type of lending?
Well, in the beginning, it was like Nancy Reagan's Just Say No, because we weren't doing a great job of describing what it was. And so the thing that has been most helpful to us is a Texas AG opinion confirming that this is a government assessment like a tax. It's not a tax, but banks go second to PIDs, public improvement districts, water assessments, other kinds of assessments all over the country. They don't even think twice about it. But until they understand that this isn't a private loan, the money comes from a private lender. And my goal is to make every bank in Texas seriously consider becoming a PACE lender. There's absolutely no reason that this can't be a great new product for the very best customer. And not every customer, but the very best commercial, industrial, or multifamily customer. But it is a governmental assessment on the property. Treated like a tax. And so it's non-recourse. It can't accelerate. It is a different alternative financing mechanism. And so banks that want to see their downtowns rebuilt, right? I mean, we committed as a nonprofit to serve all of Texas, and we are growing where local governments can get comfortable with us. And many of our jurisdictions are rural, and they may have one project every 10 years. That business should still be able to access the program, right? But they're not going to be able to do it if the banks don't understand it. So step one in understanding it is getting the local lenders comfortable with being the consenting senior lender. And then the second step is, once they get used to it, please consider making the PACE loan. So you may not want your senior loan to be as big as they used to be, but you could layer a PACE loan with your senior loan, a very secure PACE loan, and help your best customer get to where they need to be and get those jobs done. Because our bankers are living in towns with magnificent historic buildings that are falling apart and are vacant because it just costs too much money to bring them back. And so those are my favorite projects. And there are examples on our website of all kinds of underutilized or empty buildings that have been brought back to life. And those are very exciting for everybody. But if we don't get the local lenders involved, the traditional PACE lender, I say traditional because we've only been around 10 years, right? This is a relatively new thing, but they're kind of Wall Street brokers getting money from life insurance companies and pension funds who love these very secure long-term loans, but they don't have the resources to go everywhere. They want to fish where the fish are. So if we're going to serve all of Texas, we need the banks involved.
I really, really love the point you just brought up, which I had not realized that some of these loans, of course, once you mention it, these loans could impact buildings that otherwise might fall into further deterioration or abandonment. Whether you care about just the historical beauty and meaningfulness of an older building, or you just want to conserve for the sake of conservation, because why destroy something that could have some life left in it? To me, revitalizing downtowns of small towns is very important to me. Coming from small towns and living in small towns most of my life, it is sad to me to see some beautiful buildings that could have a lot of life left in them just economically suffering, and sometimes they're boarded up. So I would love to hear more about, so we're talking things like windows, and would this even be like insulation? How far can this stretch? Obviously, you can't just refurbish a building under this program, but how far can it stretch?
So when you're going to go to refurbish a building there are a couple different, there are four different things that you can do with PACE. You can do new construction. There are some quirks to that. And it took us a while to figure out how to do that under the statute. The statute was intended to take older buildings and help deal with the upfront maintenance cost and the cash flow issues of replacing an HVAC system or replacing a roof. We should be doing 20 1980s office buildings a month, right? I mean, it's tenants are unhappy, utility bills are ridiculous, repair bills are ridiculous, but our biggest challenge is people don't know about this program. But anyway, so it's updating older buildings. There are gut rehabs, taking empty buildings, taking these beautiful historic brick shells and bringing them back to life. And then there's refinancing. If somebody has done one of these and they went, oh, wow, we could have used PACE, we'll look back 24 months. That's it. But that could be done. So those are the four ways you can use it. I had a legislator tell me in 2013, I asked him, why are you helping me? And he said, he gave me a couple of reasons. I said, no, really, why are you helping me? And he said, because you're going to save our small towns. And it completely changed the way I look at this. I have a very, pretty much in our industry, probably really out there, unique view. But if we do that, mm-hmm. I will have felt like the last 10 years of running in Jell-O has been totally worth it.
I love that. And I honestly, I had not thought about this impact. And so many people with really, really good brains and, you know, tremendous experience are working on the concept of how to save our small towns. And there are countless factors that go into it. And I'm excited that this is a factor I had not really thought about. Small kind of, you could call it niche lending that can help with literally the structures. Because so often I feel like businesses want some real estate on Main Street. They just can't necessarily afford that shopfront, and they can't afford it if the energy bills are going to be high, the rent is going to be fluctuating, any of that stuff. It seems to me that by rehabbing or refurbishing certain buildings, you can stabilize that real estate market a little bit better. Is that a reach to say, or is that kind of part of the concept?
That's exactly what we intended. And it brings me back to your last question, which I didn't really answer. And that's like, what can you do this for? So let's take a storefront. And let me just say that another reason we need local lenders is that the traditional PACE lenders keep raising their floor on what they'll fund. They want the bigger and bigger projects, right? So if there's a project in a town that's under 2 million, if there's not a local lender, they're harder than they should be to get funded. Sure. So walk into this beautiful old building on a court, on a square, a Main Street or a county square, county courthouse square. The roof, the lighting, the HVAC, the toilets in the bathrooms, if it's a restaurant, any of the water fixtures, those measures all qualify. If they save energy and they save water, then they're going to count. If you want to put solar on the roof, that's going to count. If you want to say, you know I need a generator, but I don't want a generator just sitting in my basement having to be tested all the time. I'd rather use big batteries. Sure. We have the Sinclair Hotel in downtown Fort Worth uses batteries instead of a generator. And that owner taps into the batteries during the day when power costs the most, and he recharges them at night when power's the cheapest. But he's always got his backup power required by code for a hotel. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to get really creative, and the prices for all of this were coming down. We'll see what happens in the next several months. But the idea is, let's renovate these buildings properly. Let's build them properly. Let's not condemn these buildings to high operating costs because we only built to code, when for a little bit more, we could have done better. Another feature of these PACE assessments is that because the local government is the collection agency for the PACE lender, the interest rates are lower than equity. And so people are looking at this not just for the ongoing energy and water savings that we're measuring, that we care about, mm-hmm. but for a little bit more expense in your uses, mm-hmm. you're getting a source of capital that's less expensive. And it's a wash on the weighted average cost of capital, too. Yeah. I mean, it actually is positive there for the borrower and for the senior lender. Sure. There are so many advantages to this, but really it's getting people to take a second look at it. It's getting people to get comfortable. And for senior lenders, I'm excited about some groups that have said, we will consent to. It took us 6 years to get HUD's consent, but a senior lender involved in FHA financing can use PACE in that capital stack, assuming they're approved, because HUD will approve.
Sure.
And now we've had a wonderful relationship with USDA. They have not only consented to the USDA senior loan guarantees, but they've also used allowed us to have REAP grants, Rural Energy for America grants, which every local bank should know about in a USDA rural area. Mm-hmm. In anytime somebody comes in and says, I need to replace my HVAC, or I need your help on these buildings. If it's an energy efficiency program in a USDA rural area, USDA will pay 25% of that project up to $500,000. That's a grant that you don't have to pay back.
That is
huge,
not
opportunity.
That. No.
And huge. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I actually have my roots in rural Iowa, where farming is just near and dear to the, you know, it's the bedrock of the economy. So, you know, I got excited about downtowns, but while you're talking about this, suddenly I'm thinking, you know, I mean, hog refineries, chicken processing plants. I mean, I'm picturing, and when you mentioned some of those buildings from the 80s, I'm picturing all the buildings that run lights and fans and potentially could be doing improvements and potentially could tap into some of what you're talking about. Because you did mention this can impact farms and ranches as well. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And so let's talk about what that looks like. So dairy farmers, mm-hmm. right? We had a very creative project. I don't know if it'll ever get done because it involved five different farms and a whole lot of complexity, but we had a group wanting to use PACE to collect methane and put it back into, put it in the pipelines. All that dairy equipment, anybody who's doing food processing, if you've got to wash your lettuce, there's so much wasted water there. That equipment would work. The roofs, the fans, the lights, all of it. It has to be permanently affixed to the property because we need to use those savings to pay those installments, right? That's what we want the owners to have. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do a farm tractor or something like that. It's got to be affixed to the property. But yep. but what we could do to yep. reduce one controllable cost in a very upheaval situation that literally pays for itself yep. is tremendous. We would love to be serving that part sector of our economy.
That's another thing that just really excites me as you're talking about this. Farmers face a lot of uncertainty. Sometimes they're running really close to margins, and at least in the communities where I'm from, we love our farmers. We want to provide as much support as possible, and we can't always take that that mental load off some of our family farmers. So to have this type of financing where maybe the last thing they want to worry about is the, some of those technology, I shouldn't say technology, the basic infrastructures of some of their buildings. And I understand it's not going to be a tractor. And I think everyone can understand as we're talking about this. But for dairy farms, you've got your barns, you've got your all that processing. This is exciting to me. And I love it when I learn new things, and I love it when I find out what folks have been putting their brains to in different ways to serve so many different aspects of communities. Because it seems to me this could impact, as you mentioned, a hotel, larger urban areas, and then also rural areas equally. It doesn't really seem to me that there are barriers that you're describing between different types of commercial entities. Like we're talking barrier, folks across the board. Is that correct?
That is correct. The only barrier is the access to capital. And that's why local lenders play such a big role. Sure. The other thing I wanted to tell you is in December, SBA came out with guidance saying that they will consent to PACE. So all the SBA lenders now can allow PACE into a capital stack with a 504 or 7A loan. So that we really are moving toward local lenders. We just need all the help we can get to have them take a serious look.
Speaking of maybe a little bit more of an incentive to take a serious look, I read somewhere, and you're going to have to tell me about this, is there CRA credit that banks can get for some of this type of lending?
Yes. And the most recent CRA rule adjustments last administration added environmental improvements to CRA. So it's easier now than it was, but we've always believed this is a great way to earn CRA credit, and probably pretty easy.
And honestly, that could be a selling point for banks as well, even if their heads are spinning a little bit on, you know, some of the lending stuff we've been talking about. When you say CRA, that catches some banks' attention because it can be difficult for some banks to track and record some of their CRA activity. So I love just that little nugget there that might be able to catch the ear of some community banks, even if some of the rest of this is kind of flying by them. What else have we not covered? I mean, it sounds like such a big, robust program. There's so many angles to this. What else helps make this a good option for smaller banks to get involved with?
Not just smaller banks. I'm excited to tell you that in Philadelphia last year, Wells Fargo consented to a fantastic project. So it's fun to see some of the larger banks look at this too. We've had Chase and Prosperity Bank here in Texas consent to a couple of these. Mm-hmm. What do banks need to know? Well, the first thing is, don't worry about this conversation. When I make a presentation, it comes with a PowerPoint with pictures and examples. And even then, I tell people, you're really going to have to hear about this three times before the light bulb goes off. I'm always looking for opportunities to speak to different groups, to do CLEs for bank lawyers. This is a learning curve. And we appreciate that banks don't do new very easily. And so respecting that, this is a learning curve. And so I hope people will reach out with, say, I got about 5% of what you guys talked about. Can we do this again? And the answer is absolutely. But I have counterparts in 40 different states that I love. The administrators we're not doing this to make the money. A good administrator is really acting on behalf of the local government to do quality control. That's our job, to educate people and to make sure that the senior lenders, the PACE lenders, the property owners are going to get the savings that they're expecting, because we need those to create the operating income. And so we know this is going to take time, but administrators across the country are doing this in recognition of the fact that this is a very hard thing to expect any local government to do on their own. There are some that do it, but very, very few. They've outsourced it to an administrator. Most local governments pay nothing for this. We get paid a user fee by the owner that voluntarily wants to do it. But our role is to, if I'm successful and Texas PACE Authority is successful, this program will be around 40 years from now, and it will be boring because everybody's using it and nobody thinks twice about it. But we have to earn, that first. And so it's our 10th anniversary. We've facilitated over $500 million in PACE assessments in Texas. And as you mentioned, we serve 105 local governments. To put that in perspective, we only have 200 counties to go. Texas has 254 counties. It's a big state. Yeah. So we are, we're on a mission, but we cannot. So the final message is, we cannot do this without banks and CDFIs and credit unions and other local lenders that want to see their communities thrive.
Yeah. Well, I love the information you've laid out for us, the scope of what you've shared. It seems to me that they're beyond the confines of the program itself. It doesn't really seem like there are limitations on which banks can be involved, on which communities can be involved, on which commercial entities can be involved. The sky's the limit. It's more a question of how is this going to help each stakeholder achieve their goals. And it sounds like there's a lot of win-win-win going for everyone involved.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a little extra work, but we love what we do. We love the people we work with. And Elizabeth, this has really been fun today. You've helped me remind me why we're doing this. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate learning new things. And I'm going to admit, I had not heard about this program before I got in touch with you. And I'm excited when I hear, like I said, when I hear about people putting really smart brains and years of experience toward solving multidimensional problems. I mean, what more could we ask for? I love it. I appreciate your time today. I love it when I learn something new. I enjoy it when I get to learn from someone like you with so many years of experience and sharing your wisdom to to tackle problems in our communities. I just very much appreciate your time and sharing all this information.
Thank you so much.
Folks, that was another episode of Banking Matters. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you again to Charlene Heidinger for sharing your time and wisdom with us today. And we hope you tune in for next episode.